Welcome to Historical Jesus. I'm Mark Vinette. The Jesus myth theory includes the view that the story of Jesus is largely mythological and has little basis in historical fact. It is a fringe theory supported by a small group of dedicated, active, and vocal scholars and mythicists who argue that in the Gospels, a fictitious historical narrative was imposed on the mythical cosmic savior figure created by Paul. For 2,000 years, we've been told that Christianity began around 33 AD when the disciples of the rural preacher Jesus of Nazareth came to believe he had risen from the dead. But is that tale a myth? Myth proponents claim that there is significance in the lack of surviving historic records about Jesus of Nazareth from any non-Jewish author until the 2nd century, adding that Jesus left no writings or other archaeological evidence. This understanding deviates from the mainstream historical view, and most historians reject the theory that Jesus never existed. Mainstream biblical scholars point out that much of the writings of antiquity have been lost, and that there was little written about any Jew or Christian in this period, and that there is no known archaeological or textual evidence for the existence of most people in the ancient world, even famous people. Born in the 2nd century is a podcast hosted by Chris Palmero, a secular, self-proclaimed counter-evangelist and former Catholic. Through a close reading of the New Testament and books left out of the Bible, he argues that Christianity began almost 100 years after the imagined death of Christ. Let's listen to his provocative, alternative view of the historical Jesus.
If you were to ask an average person in the United States today how they believe Christianity originated, the answer would look something like this: Jesus of Nazareth. And they would say Jesus of Nazareth, since they recognize that, I guess, Jesus Christ is a religious title and Jesus just sounds a bit lacking by itself. But Jesus of Nazareth was born to Jewish parents about 5 years on either side of 1 AD, because they also recognize that 1 AD is not the correct date for the birth of Jesus, right? He was a religious teacher who taught Jewish moral precepts with some innovations. He was baptized by John the Baptist. That's another one of those indisputable facts. He performed healings and exorcisms, which were recognized as miracles by his followers, but which were probably psychosomatic or exaggerated. He ran afoul of the Jewish and Roman authorities by preaching the kingdom of God, which they read as like a pretension towards secular rule. He was duly executed by the Romans. At some time shortly thereafter, his earliest followers became convinced that they'd seen him risen from the dead, whether that was a dream vision or an outright hallucination. They adapted his teaching to reflect this new reality. The coming kingdom that Jesus had preached was actually his own messianic rule as the celestial savior who would return again at the end of the world, and that all who believed in him and kept his commandments would be spared punishment at the eternal judgment and would live forever in his heavenly kingdom. This belief system spread slowly among the Jews at first until an early Christian leader named Paul introduced it to a pagan audience. And from there, it developed through a series of controversies and setbacks into a universal church. Now, at first glance, that view does not seem like a religious one. After all, we said nothing about the stories about Jesus and his resurrection actually being true, so it seems to be rather a cold and dispassionate historical reading of the beginnings of Christianity. I mean, that's how it seems at first glance, but when you really examine this, you'll find that all of the information in this conventional view of early Christianity comes directly from the religious texts themselves. The only thing that's been really introduced is the possibility that the miracles and the resurrection story were subjective. For everything else, we seem to have collectively decided that whatever is possible is therefore historical. You know, it's possible that Peter believed that Jesus rose from the dead and convinced others of this fact, therefore it's somehow likely historical. So above all, we have to get away from this idea of reconstructing the background of Christianity by simply summarizing what its own religious texts say and just kind of whacking out all the obviously mythical stuff. It's something that we wouldn't do for the Iliad, for example, or for that matter, even for the Old Testament. It's what used to be done for those books prior to the 1800s or early 1900s or whatever, but it's fallen way out of fashion in other fields, yet it still prevails in the study of Christianity. As I said before, the first step is to eliminate our assumptions from the beginning, especially the assumption of a historical Jesus and an initial college of disciples or apostles. And lastly, I want to point out on this subject that in general, determining the day one origins of any religion is like holding an object over an event horizon. The object warps and shifts as we hold it, and we can't be certain what we're looking at any given time as we move and manipulate the object over the distorting matter. I mean, how much do we really know about the day one origins of something like the Ordo Templi Orientis, for example, you know, from the beginning of the 20th century? How much do we really know about the day one origins of Scientology and L. Ron Hubbard's specific internal thought processes? How much do we really know about Joseph Smith's religious development in like the early 1820s? Can we pin down the day one origins of Mormonism with any confidence? I mean, the true origins, not what the church itself says are the origins. And these are modern belief systems constructed in the full light of history, relatively modern. I mean, how much more impenetrable must the day one origin story of an ancient religion like Christianity be to us? Great religious movements do not require a neatly curated foundation story. And that's true even of the religious movements that are developing right now in our own time. And we live now in the era in which information is archived and readily available and accessible. Now, how much more obscure then should the beginnings be of religions that arose in the world of 2,000 years ago? In an era of great popular religious feeling, an era of hunger for salvation and deliverance from the cosmic enemies of humanity, in a certain sense, it may be said that Christianity had a founder or founders insofar as certain men developed and spread abroad ideas which had come to them from an earlier time. They carried on propaganda and established communities, and the basis of their propaganda was the divinity of Jesus. We've seen some evidence that the conventional way of looking at Christian origins is unhelpful and should be discarded, whether it's the lack of external testimony or the contradiction of the internal testimony. We've also seen how everything that we've been told about Christian origins comes from a fictional narrative that was developed by the early church to explain the circumstances of its own founding. Christianity emerged from the second century as just one strain of a Jewish heresy that survived. We began to demonstrate an alternative way of explaining how Christianity began, one that takes all the evidence into account and addresses the many contradictions and problems. We provided some background for the true beginnings of Christianity and why the traditional story of those beginnings has so many problems. We also provided an outline of the special paradigm, which is our working theory of the true origins of Christianity. And we also exposed the fragment of Quadratus as a fraud, but in doing so, we demonstrated the critical view of reading and examining these ancient texts. We will continue to ask and answer the question as to why the early sources paint such a different picture of Christianity than the conventional story does. Above all, we have to eliminate from our minds the assumption that Jesus was a historical figure and that his immediate disciples founded Christianity. We close with another reading, and this one is from the great Edwin Johnson, a hero of radical criticism. Writing in the year 1887, he says, "We hold that the Christian world has for ages been content for the most part and is still content to beg the question of the historical origins of Christianity under the influence of the old Catholic fathers, that is, under the influence of men who were ignorant of the history of the church, which they administered with so much skill. Men who were content to fill the void in their knowledge with poetical fancies and who probably encouraged the circulation of historical fictions which tended to support their apostolical pretensions with their flocks."
I'm Mark Vinette. Thank you for sharing your time with me. Doctors endorse it, nutritionists recommend it, and customers love it. Calotrin Healthy Weight Loss. Ron in Texas lost 35 pounds. Marie in Pennsylvania lost 117 pounds with Calotrin. Diane not only lost weight, but she also found relief from arthritis. Lynn lost over 45 pounds. Calotrin contains collagen, the most abundant protein naturally occurring in the human body, which decreases as we age. Taking Calotrin promotes better sleep, more energy, less joint pain, and best of all, weight loss. Calotrin has an amazing 86% success rate with their 90-day supply. And this week, take advantage of their President's Day sale. Buy the 90-day supply and get an extra month free, plus free shipping. Ordering is so easy. Just text the word HISTORY to the code 30605, and we'll send you a link to this special offer. Again, text HISTORY, that's HISTORY, using the code 30605.